Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Friday, absolutely packed. Best show of the week. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. 1 hour from now, our Blazing Five, which is red hot. We're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. What a showcase last night. I don't have all the Thursday games the last 10 years on my calendar. That was as good as Thursday games get.
It lived up to the hype, for sure.
Everybody, oh, I don't like Thursday games, poor players. I don't know, those guys were, that was as good as football gets last night. Now, I want to start with this. Quarterback in the NFL, the reality is, how do you overcome chaos? Everybody loves all these young quarterbacks, and we like Kyle Allen, we like Kyler Murray, and we like Lamar Jackson, and we like Josh Allen, and we like Baker Mayfield. Last night, my friends, may have been two of the best quarterbacks in the league, two of the top three. Aaron Rodgers and Carson Wentz, that's how to play quarterback. Aaron Rodgers put on an absolute clinic. That offensive line for Green Bay was overrun by the Eagles. He was running for his life. He had no running game. He's got a rookie head coach who, once he gets off the script, they can't do anything. They can't do anything in the second half. He lost Davante Adams, and Aaron Rodgers played as well as he has played. That's a top three Aaron Rodgers game for me. He was absolutely brilliant last night. He had no running game. He didn't have 2.5 seconds in that pocket more than a half dozen times. He lost Davante Adams. He's got a rookie head coach. He's learning a system. Philadelphia's defensive line was pushing Green Bay's O-line back the second the ball was snapped. And he was as good as Aaron Rodgers has been in a long time. Jimmy Graham can't catch anymore. Davante Adams got hurt, and they couldn't run the ball. The guy threw for 422 yards against a desperate team with Doug Peterson's coaching staff and the veteran Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator, who's outstanding. And then there's Carson Wentz. Now, he ran the ball more. His numbers aren't great. But his team had 9 penalties. 9. They're at Lambeau. He didn't have a deep threat. DeSean Jackson didn't play. Alshon Jeffrey would not have played if they were not 1-2. Alshon Jeffrey was at 50%. And Carson Wentz on the road, can't hear, in Lambeau, was great. Tremendous decisions. Made one lousy throw at the end that was incomplete in a 3rd and 5. Outside of that, Carson Wentz. But what I loved about Rodgers and Wentz last night, throwing from the different arm angles, Aaron's under constant duress. Now, Wentz had more time to throw, but who's he throwing to? They had no deep threat. Green Bay knew it. Alshon Jeffrey's playing at 50%. That's how you quarterback. I mean, nothing against Dak Prescott, but he's faced the fewest pressures in the league. He's got the best running back, the best offensive line. He's got super smart guys, Randall Cobb, Jason Witten, Amari Cooper. He's got all these veteran guys. They all run the routes he needs. That's not the reality of quarterback. That's not how the world works. I like Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid's the best play designer maybe in football history. He's got the best tight end. He's got the fastest guy in the league. Everybody they draft, Kansas City works. He's got one of the top 7-8 offensive lines. I love Patrick Mahomes, but that's not reality. Most people don't get Andy Reid. They don't get Travis Kelce. They don't get the fastest guy. I mean, last night is how you quarterback in this league. I mean, Buffalo, Josh Allen, 3-0, they're babysitting him. They still got the binky in. I mean, last night, Aaron Rodgers, if Aaron Rodgers didn't play last night and you put in the average NFL quarterback, they could have been, it would have unraveled in 5 minutes. I mean, Carson Wentz has trailed in all 4 games this year by at least 10 points. He had the massive pressure last night. If they lose and go 1-3 and Dallas is 3-0, have you ever heard Philadelphia talk radio? It's the angriest talk radio in the world. He is going to have to, on a bye week, on a long week, if he turns on the radio, his ears will catch fire. Philadelphia doesn't just like sports, they live it. So I'm watching that game last night. The pressure that was on, you know, any pharmaceutical sales rep can sell Viagra and heart medicine. Okay, can you sell the new product that's ankle medicine that nobody talks about? Anybody can look good when you have all sorts of time to throw. Rodgers had none. And anybody can look good at home when you're a better team. Wentz, 9 penalties on the road, no deep threat. Clinic last night. Absolute clinic on how to quarterback. All right, let's shift to this. You know, there's a lot of... You ever driven? I used to have to make this drive once in a while. When I lived in Vegas, I'd have to drive to Los Angeles, and it's like 3.5 hours of desert. And I'd never seen a mirage because I grew up in Washington State, and there is no desert. It's raining. Those are real puddles. But I would drive from Vegas to L.A., and sometimes you'd look out there, and it's like, is that a lake? What was it? Oh, it's called a mirage. And you're like, oh, that's so weird. Like, the closer you get, oh, it looks like you're driving up to a lake, right? They're called mirages. A lot of mirages in the NFL. Buffalo 3-0. They play Brady and Belichick. Could be a mirage. Kyle Allen. Ooh, he looked good last week. Now let's see if you can face that Houston Texans pass rush. Could be Kyle Allen. Could be a little mirage. Buffalo could be a little mirage. Was Green Bay a little mirage last night? So the first 3 weeks they faced Mitch Trubisky, Kirk Cousins, and Joe Flacco, and that defense shut them down. I'm looking last night, Carson Wentz, 24 first downs, 5 for 9 on third down, rush for 180 yards, for 4 for 4 in the red zone. Maybe that Green Bay defense was a little bit of a mirage. Carson Wentz has an A-plus arm, A-plus size, A-plus mobility. They have a Hall of Fame left tackle who was back. Tight end Zach Ertz will be a Hall of Fame tackle. Doug Peterson's a super clever coach. They had the better pass-blocking offensive line last night. Oh, that defense for Green Bay was not quite as spectacular. Yeah. Okay, Carson Wentz was not sacked last night. Green Bay led the NFC in sacks coming into the game, and he didn't face a ton of pressure. I watched that game last night. I felt Philadelphia was bigger. I felt Philadelphia was stronger. I said on Twitter and yesterday all over the show, I thought Philadelphia was going to win the game. They were the better team, and they were last night. Listen, It is very difficult to make decisive decisions in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the NFL. Bill Belichick and Andy Reid are great coaches. I'll stop at about that. Patrick Mahomes is absurdly talented. I'll give you that one. The truth in this league comes out by about mid-October. Buffalo Bills have had a lot of good Septembers. Kirk Cousins has had a lot of good games not on TV. And Philadelphia walked into that place last night. They weren't even fully staffed. Didn't have a deep threat. Offensive line's been a mess. Three of their best corners were out of the game. So this was not a fully staffed team. Playing under a ton of pressure last night. And that running game for Philadelphia. I mean, if you're Green Bay this morning, you wake up, you're like we couldn't adapt for 3.5 hours. They ran over the Packers. And I mean, Troy Aikman kept saying it. These were not like schematic tricks. Look at the holes they're running through. Those are 4 and 5 and 6 feet tunnels that you're running through. And so I just felt that entire game. I thought the bigger, stronger, more physical team was Philadelphia. It's why I liked them before the game. Even when they got down 10-0, my takeaway, I'm sitting there watching thinking, listen, referees, stop getting in the way of the game. Let it settle down. It's hard to go to Lambeau. The crowd is nuts. Thursday night football, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, national TV, crowd's going crazy. Everybody's socially lubricated with a couple of craft beers. And once that game settled down, Philadelphia owned Green Bay. Philadelphia's offensive line pushed Green Bay's defensive front all over the field. That was really impressive. And they're now getting some rest. They're now getting healthier. And they are 2 drop passes, Philadelphia, my Super Bowl NFC pick, from being undefeated. Watch out. First 3 games, the Packers defense allowed 11 a game. Last night, 34. In Lambeau.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So last night during the game, a crucial part in the game was Philadelphia was backed up to their one. So Green Bay's got first and goal at the 1-yard line, and they called 4 straight passes. And I have, as a rule, as a talk show host, I've talked about this. I used to talk about this all the time. Talk show hosts never sound dumber than when they try to second-guess coaches who have actually looked at tape. This is, believe it or not, 25-year veteran coaches look at tape no more than sports talk show hosts and drunk guy in the fourth row. I know it's shocking, but if you looked at the tape last night, the coaches looked at tape all week, and you could tell from the first series they made a decision. We can't run on Philadelphia. The tape says we can't run on them, so there's that. Physicality, Green Bay's running back gets knocked out first play of the game, and both tackles get hurt. So physically, what they saw on tape was happening. They were hurting us. So there's that. Matt LaFleur likes to run the football. That's his history at Tennessee and Green Bay. So there's that. Philadelphia's corners were all hurt, 3 of 4. Jimmy Graham, 6'6". Devontae Adams is tall. They have big receivers at Green Bay. So there's that. Like, there's a lot of different reasons why you don't run the ball. I probably would have run on first down. Brought in my great power run. But after that, after I couldn't run, I'm not going to run it again. On tape, they couldn't see running. Clearly early in the game, Aaron Rodgers led Green Bay in rushing. Aaron Jones is excellent. He had 30 yards on 12 carries. There, one running back got knocked out of that. You were down to Aaron Jones and a fullback 35 seconds into the game. You had mismatches all over the field, but they were in the back end where Philadelphia was hiring guys from Panera Bread and Olive Garden to play corner last night. And there were massive, massive mismatches in size and experience and talent in the back end. Matt LaFleur talked about it. He took a lot of heat. Not that I wouldn't have run. I would have run on first down, but here's what he said.
You know, when you have one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, you know, you trust him to continually gain yards and get down the field. And we were able to accomplish a lot of what we wanted to do. It's just we got to do a better job in the red zone. And when you're 3 for 7, you're not going to win many games.
Okay, so ask yourself, why was Philadelphia so good in the red zone last night? 4 for 4. Ask yourself. Because their offensive line was pushing Green Bay's defensive front all over the field. Is Carson Wentz that much better than Aaron Rodgers? Of course not. Well, the opposite was true with Green Bay. When you watched that game last night, the ball was snapped and Aaron Rodgers was under duress. There were no running lanes. So you think down at the 1.5-yard line, they're just going to open up. Well, you've only got to get a yard. Yeah, and they got more guys jammed in the box. So, and again, if you always default to this in the NFL, I'm going to put the ball in the hands of the most talented player on my team. Aaron Rodgers has been in a million fourth and ones, third and ones at the goal line. He's been here before. Matt LaFleur hasn't as a head coach. And Matt said, Aaron, I'm going to put it in your hands. Aaron talked about it after the game.
I feel good about all four calls. I mean, we had a fade to Jimmy. We had a keeper that they played well. We had an RPO. And then we had the fourth down call. But I feel good about, you know, we had a couple opportunities there, I think, to score. We just didn't quite execute. But, it hurts. Obviously, the way they were stopping the run, we felt good about those four calls. And I like the calls, and I feel like we were close to – on a couple of those to really score and tie it up.
Listen, Green Bay with Matt LaFleur has been very good on script, but once you get off the script last night, Green Bay couldn't move the football. Aaron Rodgers had a great drive end of the half because he's Aaron Rodgers, and Philadelphia's corners, most of those guys will never see valuable minutes if the real guys are healthy. But, everybody sits around. Green Bay's coaches, now I don't like fade patterns, but Aaron throws the best fade in the league, so even that call on first down, I'm not a huge fan of it, but Aaron throws such a good, that's as perfectly as thrown ball as you can do. Then you look at the second one. Again, he's under massive duress. Then you look at the third one. Again, there's not much you can do here, but there is a mismatch in size. And the fourth one, it's a little playground, but, there's 8 Eagles in one guy. Philadelphia's a better football team. If Philadelphia's defense was in Aaron's face all night, we can sit here and argue and yell, and I would have run on first down, but I'm going to defend Matt LaFleur here. I got news for you. Pete Carroll got all sorts of heat for throwing the ball at the 1-yard line. A lot of people in this league now, this is not 1974, 83. They throw the ball at the 1 and 2-yard line. It's like, ask yourself right now, Arizona gets the ball, first and goal at the two. Wouldn't you put the ball in Kyler Murray's hands with their offensive line? Yeah, of course you would. Then why wouldn't you put in Aaron Rodgers with that offensive line? 2-yard line for a mobile quarterback who's a playmaker? Lamar Jackson, 1-yard line. I'll put it in his hands. Let Lamar make something happen.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All great football coaches adjust very well during the course of a game. They adjust well. Most young coaches script very well. Now, scripting's important, but adjusting wins Super Bowls. Terry and Howie talked about Green Bay's problem this year, which is last night, fourth quarter, no points. Green Bay is now one of the worst teams in the NFL, 29th in second half points. That's with Aaron Rodgers. That's with Aaron Jones. That's with Devontae Adams. That's with an offensive coach. That's with an above average pass blocking O-line usually. They are bad. They are not. I mean, they've scored 28 in the first quarter, 33 in the second, 6 in the fourth quarter. It is now a trend. Howie Terry talked about it last night, Thursday Night Football on Fox.
Well, they've got the first 15 plays of the game down pat. It's the second 15 that they're having an issue with.
So why are the first 15 plays they got them down? Why is that? Our viewers may not know.
They're scripted.
They're scripted, yeah, scripted. So they know exactly what they're doing for the first 15. That's one thing. I think they're just struggling. They're very good at the opening half. They're very poor in the second half of the football game.
And the reality is they may not fix it for a while. Sully Sullenberger, you remember the pilot? When you're a 35-year veteran of flying and you lose an engine on takeoff over New York City, you can land it flying over the George Washington Bridge and nobody dies. I'm going to go with that would be much harder for a first-year pilot who loses an engine over New York City and has roughly 90 seconds to save everybody's life. Experience is crucial. Belichick, Saban, Dabo Sweeney, Pete Carroll, these are great adjusters. Sean McVay came into this league as a tremendous scripted coach. He was then embarrassed in the Super Bowl by Belichick. Why? Because he never adjusted. He had a bad Super Bowl, and Sean McVay heard about it all offseason. Why didn't you adjust? You can adjust off the script. You don't do anything. Do you know what McVay does really well this year? Second half scoring. It took even this brilliant young coach a couple of years to get off the script. He was great on script early with the Rams. Got to that Super Bowl and went, oh God, this is why Belichick has all these rings. Belichick is not good in the first quarter of the Super Bowl. He's the greatest second half quarterback coach in the history of the Super Bowl. So McVay got ripped all year. And what did he do? Rams are second in the NFL in second half scoring. He said, I've got to learn to adjust better, not just script the game. So here is Matt LaFleur. He is a scripter. And I think it's very hard to ask a first-year pilot, a first-year coach, even if it's Sean McVay. All right, 15 plays in. All right, now at halftime, you got 12 minutes. Nothing's working, or everything is. And I think this is very difficult. I mean, let's go look at 6 of the 8 rookie coaches right now. There's 8 new head coaches. 6 of them, 6 of the 8 are in the bottom third of second half scoring. You think that's just coincidence? And Freddie Kitchens has looked a little overwhelmed. Zach Taylor, after the first game, has looked a little overwhelmed. Matt LaFleur in second halves has been worked. Doesn't mean he can't coach. It doesn't mean he's not smart. It has nothing to do with that. Sully Sullenberger, first year as a pilot, probably can't land it in the Hudson. Not like that. Not a perfect landing, no engine, over New York City. Probably, have you ever watched that movie? Had to make split-second decisions. What were all those decisions based on? Experience. Having flown over big cities, having lost an engine, having been hit by lightning, having had duress and a tight landing spot. So I think they can solve that stuff. It's not that they can't solve it, but I think it's very, very hard, and it comes with experience. And right now, Matt LaFleur, it may take him a year to figure it out. I said this all the time. Just because you're talented, Kobe Bryant was talented when he was sitting on the Laker bench. But Kobe Bryant had to figure out, okay, be careful, this kind of defense, this guy can shoot. You look at the NBA and LeBron James. LeBron's a coach on the floor. LeBron wasn't even a good defender his first year. You can have all the talent in the world, but you got to learn things. I could never hire a 21-year-old producer on the show. I couldn't. It could be he could go to Harvard. He could go to Princeton. If you don't have 10 years in this business with all the moving parts on the show, I just can't hire you. I don't care what your resume says. I can't hire you. Everybody on my staff's got 10 plus years or more. So it's and I loved you millennials, but it's Joy has got, she's been regional, she's been local, now she's been national. We're asking Matt LaFleur on national TV to go up against Doug Peterson. He's got inferior line play. Good luck. Blazing Five, top of the hour. By the way, I don't have a ton of time here. I do want to talk about this because I got so much good stuff top of next hour. I like the Dallas Cowboys to get beat this weekend by New Orleans. So here's what's interesting. I've been saying this. So Dallas has had easy street. I mean, it's bad teams, two or three at home. New Orleans, keep your eye on New Orleans. So the Cowboys so far have faced the 31st defense, the 26th defense, and the worst defense in the league. They've just got nothing but comfort. Keep your eye on New Orleans. So New Orleans opens against J.J. Watt and the Houston Texans, who, with the worst offensive line last couple of years, keep winning their division and winning 11 games a year. And then they go to Los Angeles. Drew Brees gets hurt. They get a bad whistle, and they almost beat the Rams. Then they go up to Seattle, get outgained 2-1, and actually, though, physically push Seattle around, win special teams, win red zone. New Orleans has faced nothing but duress, and they are 2-1, and if not for a bad whistle, could be 3-0. Don't think – this is the classic example. Last night, Philadelphia is 1-2, Green Bay's 3-0. But I said yesterday – Philadelphia is more desperate, and Philadelphia has dealt with major receiver injuries, O-line injuries, drop passes. Philadelphia is a better team. I'm not so sure New Orleans is not the better team than Dallas. I think it's very, very close. The last couple times these teams have played, they can't score. And I like Dak. But Giants, Redskins, Dolphins, those are three rebuilding teams. Those are rebuilding defenses. He's going to face his best pass rush. He's not going to be able to hear. Sean Payton, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, and a top 10 offensive line. This is going to be a very, this, I have a feeling this is going to look like Philadelphia Green Bay, where the team with the worst record is going to come in and you're going to go, oh, because the Saints defense is legit. Think about Dallas. Saints this week, then Aaron Rodgers comes to town, then the Eagles defense is a couple of weeks away. And by the time you do face the Jets, Sam Darnold is back, and the Jets defense is actually good. They'll have Leonard Williams, Jamal Adams, C.J. Mosley, Quinnen Williams, and they and I think the kid is May. Is it Brian May? Who's the safety that they love? May, Marcus May. They love him in New York. So the defense is now, Jets' strength is their defense. Eagles' D-line is coming to town. Saints' defense Sunday night is real. And here comes Aaron Rodgers. So all this comfort for Dallas, all this comfort food, it's done. That's done. All the rebuilding defenses are done. I like the Saints coming up on Sunday Night Football.
What's going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, that's me. Three and Out, that's my podcast. I talk about football, and more football, brought to you by the Colin Cowherd Podcast Network. Coming up on the show, Packers, Eagles, Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz. Also go over every individual game matchup coming up this Sunday. Again, Three and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff. Go subscribe.
I do believe there is a way to lose in the NFL. And nobody goes. I mean, we just don't have 16-0 teams. Miami Dolphins, the only team to do it. You're just going to lose games. But there are ways to lose. Now, Baltimore this week plays Cleveland. When Cleveland lost to the Rams, the score was 20-13. That was a very respectable loss, right, on paper. But Freddie Kitchens looked like he was overmatched. The play calling was putrid. Baker Mayfield made mistakes. It was the way they lost, not the score, that made us look at Cleveland and go, Baker's overrated. Freddie Kitchens is over his head. Now, Baltimore lost to Kansas City, but they look well coached. They look tough. You came out of that loss, and I think Baltimore's like, hey, we can play with anybody. So Cleveland loses, does not feel good about itself. Penalties, play calling. Baltimore loses, feels great about itself. I mean, last week's a prime example. New Orleans lost in L.A., but Breeze was hurt. They had an early whistle, or they would have taken the lead on him. So New Orleans is like, we're not even going back to New Orleans. We're staying on the West Coast. We got robbed in L.A. They went up to Seattle and controlled the Seahawks. That's a good loss. It matters. Cleveland can lose this weekend 28-20. It's going to be how they lose. If they lose 28-20, four penalties, they play their butts off. It is close late, 21-20, and then Baltimore adds a late score. You're going to get on that plane and be, okay, we are making progress. Freddie Kitchens is good enough. He went toe-to-toe with Harbaugh. Baker Mayfield cleaned up his act. We ran the ball, a lot of play action. But if they go and they're a mess and Kitchens is overwhelmed and they have 13 penalties, folks, this puppy is unraveling. Because then you're going to face, off a bye, Kyle Shanahan. Good luck flying west and facing, in my opinion, the most clever offensive guy in the league. Off a bye. That on a short week, because that's Monday night, you play the Seahawks and veteran coach Pete Carroll. Oh, and then it's New England after that. You're not winning any of those games if you lose to Baltimore and it's ugly. Cleveland can lose this week. You can lose this week as long as you show Freddie can go toe-to-toe. Baker cuts down on the mistakes. You run the ball, allowing Baker to do play action. But if you have nine penalties, you have weird coaching, you look undisciplined, this thing's going to unravel in Cleveland fast. My guess is they play pretty well, but I think it's a time of possession game. I think Baltimore's offensive line is fantastic. I think they're just going to grind and grind and grind. Baltimore does not make mistakes. That's why they're so well coached. They know their quarterback has some limitations, and this is what Buffalo's doing, and they don't put him in harm's way. Cleveland, every play, Baker's having to save the team. So in this league, everybody loses. It is how you lose as a young team. Just watch that Baltimore game. How? Not what happens, but how it happens could be the Cleveland Browns season in the balance.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Eight NFL seasons, a Super Bowl champ, drafted by the Packers, buddies with Aaron Rodgers, who put on a clinic last night with no running game and no protection. Brady Papinga, former NFL linebacker, just sharing stories. He will have a great story before we let him off about Larry Allen, Cowboys legendary offensive lineman, not giving it away 10 minutes away. So let's start with this. Four or five games in, the truth comes out about the league. There's a lot of mirages early.
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur, four games now, they can't score in the second half. They're So my takeaway is he's a young coach. He's very good off the script. Is it possible that he's just not there yet as a coach being able to adjust at half?
Absolutely. I think halftime adjustments, but also like the short week, I knew was going to test him tremendously because you have to be extremely efficient during this time because a lot of teams, they get into this idea that because it's a short week, oh, I got to pare everything down and simplify everything, which you don't really have to. There's more than enough time to get in all of your necessary strategies, adjustments, you know, specific to your opponent leading up to a Thursday night game and getting your team ready mentally, which I don't believe that defensively they were able to do.
They were not.
Because they got exploited, especially in the trenches. Even offensively, if it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers playing at his top level, it's a doozy of a game offensively. It would have been a blowout.
No.
If you don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback. So, absolutely, this game, I thought, more than any time so far in his career, it showed his youth because he just didn't have his team prepared and strategically nor mentally.
Brady, take me to – I mean, it was strange. I mean, it almost felt like Philadelphia was running two run plays over and over and over. What would you have done? What would you have gone to the sideline? Is that match responsibility when you just – I mean, Philadelphia didn't even hide it. We're going to do this again.
Well, I mean – the head coach, you have conversations with your defense like, hey, what are you guys going to do this week? You know, and yeah, it all goes through him because if he's like, I don't like what you're doing, this is what I like you to do, then you're going to do it as a defensive coach. I don't believe he has that relationship with Pettine. But here's the thing. you look at Philly in the first three games of the year, they did not commit to the running game like this. They did not block like this. So when you're petting and you're preparing your guys, you're more preparing for this offense. It's like a finesse spread offense. It's going to run everything through Carson Wentz, and all of a sudden they punch you in the face, and you don't have a contingency plan. That's what, to me, bothered me, is like there are strategies in place called run blitzes. You know, Brady Quinn doesn't believe in them, by the way. You might want to ask him about that. But they do exist. They're run blitzes, to where basically you're saying to your guys, look, we are going to send you anticipating a run, and we're going to just load you up, and we're going to dare you to try to throw the ball, play action passes over the top. I did not see that all night. And that, to me, is like, that's your ultimate line of defense if you can't stop the run, because as we see, the run game is a slow death. If you can't stop it, it keeps your offense off the field. It takes your quarterback, who's very dependent, as all quarterbacks are, on rhythm, puts him out of rhythm because he's cold sitting there on the sidelines instead of getting back out on the field, getting into his groove. So that, to me, was the problem with the defense, is there was no contingency plan. I get it that, yeah, on film, you saw a whole different team. You prepared for a whole different team. But, hey, have something in place that if they're gashing with runs, that you're going to be able to say, hey, let's put that out so then we can go and figure out what else we're going to have to do. Because if you're over, you know, commit to the run, then they're going to probably be passing over the top. So you got to kind of play those against one another.
Brady Papinga, 8 years in the NFL, 8 NFL seasons, 6 with the Packers, Rams, Cowboys as well, St. Louis Rams. I have always had kind of a rule as a talk show host. I'm not going to second guess coaches. And the reason is, you sit and watch tape all week. I don't. Secondly, there's injuries that you don't disclose. You may have a left guard who's got an ankle bruise and you just can't run certain trap plays. I don't know that. There's all sorts of information you have I don't. So nobody sounds dumber than a sports talk show host second guessing coaches.
Sure.
I would like to have seen on first down a running play by Green Bay, first and goal. But they were Aaron. I like the ball in Aaron's hands.
Absolutely.
They have huge targets. And Philadelphia had corners from Panera Bread. So
yeah, I get it.
So I'm not going to crush Matt LaFleur.
But you should, though.
I should.
Here's the reason why. Because as a defense, if an offense starts to just throw the ball, you get into the mode of it's like 7-on-7. We're going to play soft. Instead of a linebacker having to step up and respect the run, I'm going to just start right into my drop, which gives the advantage to a defense. So this whole mentality shifts. When you throw a run in there, and it's just, hey, I'm going to throw the run in there to keep you honest. All of a sudden, the defense has to be like, ooh, I can't just bail out of my drop. You know, if you're defensive lineman, I just can't pin my ears back and rush the quarterback. I actually have to play honest. And it's just having that threat that potentially can happen. And so what basically the Packers did is they communicated to the Eagles, hey, we're just going to pass it the whole time. The Eagles were like, okay, yeah, you're going to pass it. And they never once played that against it with the run, to where you kind of catch them off guard. And that's all it would have to have been, just one time or two times in those 8 plays, because there was 2 times they're down on the goal line where they – I don't know if the last one was 4 downs.
But it was 4 downs.
Both times it was 4 downs. Yeah. But anyway, of those plays, they could have ran at least 1 or 2 times just to keep the defense honest.
Yeah.
And that's all it does, is it keeps the defense from saying, hey, we're just going to sit if you're in coverage for the pass, and if you're rushing the pass, we're just going to pin our ears back and go after the quarterback. You should second guess him on that. That just principally doesn't make sense.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I can take heat.
So you're good. You're good with that.
All right. So I want to shift to the Cowboys. You know, I was saying that the great quarterbacks in this league, it's about how they deal with duress. Aaron Rodgers had no running game, lost Devontae Adams, was running for his life, and was absolutely brilliant. That's a great quarterback. Yeah. Dak has been pressured 10% of the time. It is easily the least in the NFL. The running game's great. Yeah. He's got grown-ups. Amari Cooper, Jason Witten, Randall Cobb, like grown-ups that run good routes. I mean, it's been comfort.
Are you calling Jason Witten a grown-up because he's like 40 years old?
Well, I mean, but I feel like Dak has – there's a lot of comfort here.
Yes.
You know, you know, this hotel's in the best part of town. It's got good bed. It's got good breakfast. Now you go to New Orleans. You've been there. You can't hear.
Oh, boy. That's a whole
Saints,
different animal.
You got Sean Payton. Talk about Dallas now, and go back to your career, where you open the season with a couple of rebuilding defenses or rebuilding offenses. Then all of a sudden you faced a Pro Bowl quarterback, and it is go-karts to F1, right?
Like, yeah.
I think Dallas is going to have a little shock early, the noise, the pass rush. Go back to your own career. Do you think Dallas gets a little overwhelmed early in the step up in class?
I don't think so. Dak has been, and he's been showing this ever since he was a rookie in that first preseason game against the Rams here in Los Angeles, poised. And he's never looked rattled. And everybody, when you and this goes with any offense or defense, the guy who mostly calls the plays is the kind of the personality that that unit's going to take, because they're looking at him at every play. So if you get a guy who's calling a play who looks panicked,
yeah,
and doesn't look poised,
Kirk Cousins can be that.
He's absolutely that way. He gets very rattled,
yeah,
in the heat of the moment, and it kind of gets contagious. With Dak, he's calling the play every play, and everybody's looking at him like, man, this guy's poised. He's calm. Okay, I can be calm and poised. And so I don't believe they're going to be rattled by the noise and all that kind of stuff. They are facing the best team in the NFL if Drew Brees is healthy. Now, he's not healthy, so you got, you know,
yeah,
that to deal with if you're the Saints. But they will be poised. I believe they're going to play well. You always can rely on the running game with them because – they're solid with the running game. I mean, you got options there. Dak can do it, obviously, Ezekiel and those guys. But the crowd, the atmosphere, it's not going to affect Dak. Dak's poised, man. And I love Dak. Yeah, he may have the luxury of a running game, but you still – think about it. You got to hand that ball off. You're back to the defense, and then you got to turn around and regather what kind of covers they're in, and then based off of that, where are my options? And right now, he's doing that at a very high level, and he's going to get paid a lot of money because of it.
Yeah. By the way, you live in Los Angeles. Rams are an ugly 3-0. We were talking about LaFleur.
There's an ugly 3-0, huh?
They just haven't Todd Gurley.
Well, yeah, there's Gurley, they're just resting.
Okay,
hopefully
of all the 3-0 teams, I'll just say this. Buffalo 3-0, buy him?
No way.
Okay. So
Jared Allen is the guy I just don't buy.
Or Josh Allen. Yeah, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen,
you don't
me.
Buy him.
I don't buy him. No.
Why?
He's too volatile. To me, he's like, in one moment, he goes out there, he'll run around, and he'll look like literally like Mike Vick. He'll throw a sweet pass, and then all of a sudden, he's throwing some stupid pass into quadruple coverage, getting picked off in a situation where the reward does not equal the risk, or he's running it and diving into situations where he's, again, the reward doesn't equal the risk. So there's just, to me, there's too much volatility to that quarterback position with Allen to where you can say, oh, yeah, in the heat of the moment against a really good team, which they haven't faced, in my opinion, a really good team.
Right.
I don't know if he's going to be able to deliver.
Yeah, it is funny about quarterbacks. You do generally become what we think you are. And the knock on Josh Allen was he's like this wild pony.
Oh, he is.
In Wyoming.
He's from Wyoming, man.
Yeah, I saw him play Iowa in college. He was terrible.
Yeah.
And then you'd watch him the next week. So to this point, he has not faced – it's been a very comfortable life because he hasn't been in shootouts.
No.
But if Buffalo gets behind, Josh Allen's going to have to carry him. Okay, I want your Larry Allen story. Folks, Larry Allen's a mythical figure in the NFL.
Oh, wow. Wow, yeah.
Nobody saw him playing college football. I ask players all the time, who is the strongest, toughest guy you've ever faced? And the answer is almost always Larry Allen of the Dallas Cowboys.
He is unbelievable.
So Brady, this guy could bench 600 pounds. You can go YouTube.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Offensive lineman. And again, even on a great, he played with all these great players. But if you asked all the Cowboys who was the scary dude, it would be Larry Allen. So tell me your Larry Allen of the Cowboys story.
Okay, so we're getting ready to play the 49ers because he went from Dallas to the 49ers. And I grew up watching Larry Allen when he was with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
So I remember, you know, with Madden drawing a big circle around his big rear end saying,
yeah,
look at that. That's why this guy can move so many big plays. You know? I was like, okay. So here we are. We're getting ready to play Larry Allen. And they were playing. So the film that we were watching of him, they were playing the Detroit Lions. And at the time, there was a huge defensive tackle by the name of Sean Rogers. He had to be 350. And literally, Larry Allen picked him up by his throat. Grabbed, like, I'm serious. Up under his face mask, picked him up, threw him to the ground like a rag doll. I'm sitting there, we're looking at each other like linebackers, like, whoa, that dude weighs 350. I weigh like 250. So I started getting like this little thought in my head, like, what if he grabbed me like that? That'd be kind of scary, right? So fast forward to the game, we run out into Candlestick Park. It's a beautiful day. You know, you got the little moisture on the grass there.
Yeah.
It's a little under the water there on the bay. And all of a sudden, we're going through our warm-ups, listening to our music. We just hear somebody yelling at us. I mean, it is like yelling profanities. He's gonna kill us. He's going to chew us up. I mean, it was like very kind of like graphic, his descriptions. And I look over and there he is, Larry Flippin' Allen. And his arms were like tree trunks. His face is so huge. I swear he had fangs. It was just like you're saying, a legend, mythological. It was like real now. You know, and that was his tactics. He would go and talk trash before a game. And that little clip of him grabbing Sean Rogers and tossing it around just started running through my head. And so I go into the locker room and I'm scared. This is the first time in my NFL career and the only time where I was really, truly scared to play. Like, I was wondering if I was putting my life on the line, literally. So we go out to the first play of the game And I'm looking at where Larry Allen is. Okay, he's over there. Okay, good. And sure enough, they snap the ball, and they hand the ball off away from me to Frank Gore. So he's going this way, and guess who's going to have to come block me? Larry Allen. So here he is coming up to block me, and the best part is he has his arms out wide, and he's screaming as he's coming to block me. Rawr! Like that. I'm serious, like a monster. So in the split second, as I'm getting ready to take him on, I'm like, dude, this guy is so out of control. I'm thinking this in the split second. He's so out of control. I'm just going to head fake him, and he's going to whiff air, and I'm going to run right around him. Sure enough, I head fake him. He bites on the head fake, whoosh, grabs air. I go around him. I get it on the play. I jump up, and I look at Larry Allen. I go, bro, I go, you are a lot more bark than you are bite, buddy.
Ooh, mistake.
And he was so upset about that. But then fast forward to this other play. Third down at 15. We had a three-down lineman set, three linebackers, five defensive back. I was they called me a floater. I could either be a rusher or drop back into coverage. This particular play, I was dropping back into coverage. So I walked up right over Larry Allen because I knew I was getting under his skin a little bit. And I go, here I come, big boy. I'm going to run you right over. I'm going to stick my head right up in your chin. And he's looking at me up through his helmet with his face, just filling up the helmet. And he starts breathing harder and harder. And hard, like he's getting ready to take me on. And I just jab step. And he comes at me. And sure enough, as he comes at me, our nose guard wraps around and goes right to the spot where he should have been and gets a sack. He was unbelievable. So he never got his hands on me.
2-0 against the monster.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's hear it for Brady.
Those are great stories.
It's true, by the way. Every bit of it.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah. I'm going to go to YouTube after the show just to make sure you're not BSing me.